Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
And we're going to turn to the book of John. Look at John chapter 15. Amen. John chapter 15. Let's read verses 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Almost done. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. It is life to us. I thank you, oh God. It challenges, corrects, trains, oh God. It encourages us. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, fill me tonight. And may I say what you want me to say. And I pray for every heart in this room to receive what you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. So what's the goal of every garden? It's a harvest. The goal of every garden. Why would we plant seeds and not expect to get something in return? The goal of every garden is to bear much fruit. Much fruit. I can't tell you how disappointed my husband and I have been at times when we have labored and we have planted and transplanted and put lime in the dirt and we've done all the things and then, oh man, all that effort gone to waste. But then there's times when we get this bumper crop and it's amazing and life-giving and joyful. It brings us joy, right? To see the labor of your hands, the fruit of your hands. Well, a wise gardener cuts off useless branches and prunes others to bear more fruit. So in our tomato plants, there's a time when we come and we go every main vine and branch on the outside and where you prune that middle useless branch. Any of you grown tomatoes before, you know what I'm talking about. Why do we do that? Because we want the life of that vine to go to the branches that are going to bear fruit. Amen? Well, according to this passage, Jesus says it very plainly. And before we go into this, I want to give you kind of the picture of when Jesus is saying this and who he's saying it to. This week is right before Jesus gives his life. And who is he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. He's in a private, personal time with them. He's not talking to the crowds. And matter of fact, this is right before Jesus is betrayed and arrested. And so these are his last moments with his disciples, not the crowds. It's ones who have been with him. It's ones who have seen what he can do, ones that have experienced the signs, wonders, and miracles. And these are his last words. They're in red. How many of you guys know every word of God in this book is important? But if it's in red, you better pay close attention, especially if it's red letters that repeat themselves. God doesn't waste his words. Jesus is not wasting his words here. He's pouring out his heart to the men he loves, to his disciples. And so I want to tonight, with the Holy Spirit's help, convey to you his heart and how he desires us as his disciples to remain in him. So he starts this chapter off by saying, God is the gardener. He's talking about how God is the gardener and that he desires that we, as his children, bear much fruit. And Jesus, right off the bat, says, as the gardener, he cuts off branches that don't bear fruit. Right there, he's telling his disciples, and he's telling us, that God cuts off branches that don't bear fruit. It's a warning, and it's on. I don't want to be one of those branches. Amen? And what else does he do? He prunes the ones that do bear fruit so they will bear more fruit. And we're going to talk about what that means. I want you to look in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. The act of pruning, in a spiritual sense, is correcting, chastising, and disciplining. Praise God. My son on the front row, praise God. Pastor Kimmy, pruning. Hebrews 12, 11, if we can look at that, it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a what? Harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Have you ever trained your plants to grow a certain way? Have you ever pruned them and attached them to a trellis or something to make them grow a certain way and even to give them support so they can hold the fruit that it's supposed to bear? In the same way, God disciplines those that he loves. He's a good father. And there are going to be times in your life and in mine when he says, you don't need that. That's useless. I'm going to just cut that off. I'm going to remove that relationship out of your life because it's not going to help you bear fruit. You know what? I'm going to change your job. You're not going to work there anymore because you don't need to be there anymore. I'm going to put you over here. In my life, I remember the Lord continually, as a young person, correcting my attitude. Oh, he still has to do that. There are still times when he's, don't go there. There are times when he looks at something in my life and says, that's just going to put weight on you. You don't need that. Take it off. We're going to cut it off. And the discipline is painful sometimes. I don't want to give that up. I don't want that change. And the Lord is saying, trust my hand. He has the master plan. If you've ever designed a garden or designed your, say you have one little box and you decide what you're going to plant And you, if you do any research, you have to know how far apart the plants need to be, how high the pile of dirt needs to be, what season does it grow in. A master gardener has a blueprint and knows exactly what plants need the shade, what plants need the full sun. Well, God is the master gardener of your life. He knows exactly where you need to be, and he knows exactly what he needs to prune so that you will bear fruit and more fruit. Jeremiah 29:11. Some of us could quote this in our sleep. I want you to remind yourself this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. As the master gardener, he has the blueprints for your life. He knows exactly what he wants you to do to produce. And it's not just fruit, it's fruit that will remain, fruit that will last. He doesn't want you wasting your time on things that don't matter. He is the master gardener. And we can trust his heart and his good intentions for us, even if it's painful. If you have had the privilege of being a parent, the blessing of raising treasures in your house, you know that a good parent disciplines their children in love. And that is what Jesus does with us. It seems painful at the moment, but if we will yield to him, it will produce a harvest of righteousness. Amen? Amen. So next, Jesus says, he is the true vine. He says, my father is the gardener, I am the true vine. And when you think about that, when you think about the branches being connected to the vine, we grow cucumbers, and cucumbers need to have a trellis or something for it to grow. And it's amazing to me, if you've ever grown cucumbers, they have these little branches that grow and twist and grab onto the trellis to support the plant growing sideways and upwards. And when you think about, oh no, we don't need, we're not gonna go there, we're gonna cut off that branch. And what happens? That branch withers and dies. But if we allow a branch to remain on that cucumber vine, it's going to get the life, the nutrients that it needs from the main stalk, from the main source. If you get rid of the main source, there's no life. The plant's dead. Jesus is saying, I have all that you need. Everything you need for life and godliness, every fruit of the Spirit is found in me. The love that you need, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the self-control. It's found in me. I am the true vine. You are the branches. He has everything you need. And that's where we go on to our next point. We're the branches. We're called to remain in him. If you take that chapter and did what I did and circle every time he says the word remain, you'd think he's trying to get a point across to his disciples. I don't know how many times, I think it's in here at least a dozen times within 4 or 5 verses, remain. What does that mean? Remain in the Greek was the word meno, and it means to abide, to stay, to exist permanently in, inseparably united, to inhere or adhere. So when you think about, it made me think of adhesive, to adhere to something. Like really strong Velcro. Have you guys ever used really strong Velcro? Jesus is telling his disciples, stay with me, adhere to me, abide in me. How are we to abide in Christ? How are we to be those branches that can bear much fruit? The first thing is we must remain in him. We must depend on him. Depending, being dependent. How many of you have dependents in your home? They rely on you. They rely on you for what? Food. Food. Costco. They rely on you for protection. Being dependent on Jesus means you're relying on him for everything you need. If you have people in your home that are relying on you or dependent on you, you're their source. You're the one who's going to provide for them everything that they need. You're going to correct and discipline them if they're the ones that are younger than you, they're your children, okay? They're depending on you to be wise in your decisions, to have the plan. They're depending on you for direction. They're depending on you for permission. That's a big word in our house right now, permission. Yes, you have ideas. Get permission. Amen? I love it when they make plans and they have no car. And no money, but they make plans, lots of plans. Permission. Jesus is saying, be dependent on me. I am your source. I am the one who's going to provide, protect, correct. I'm the one who has the master plan. Remain in me. Next, so we're to remain. Next, he says in verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Number two, you have to obey. Obey. The verb remain denotes a reciprocal covenantal union established by grace and sustained by obedience. Do you see that? There's an establishment and there's a sustaining. You can plant a plant, okay? But if you don't sustain it, if you don't continue to water it, put it where, give it what it needs, throw some lime in your dirt if you need to, whatever it is that you need to do, it will not bear fruit. For us, to remain in Jesus means that we are obeying him in everything. In everything. He said, remain in my love if you keep my commands. And again, this he's not talking to the world. He's not talking to a huge 10,000, you know, people. He's talking to who? His disciples. Next, he says, love each other. You're to remain in him by obeying him, by loving each other. Verse 12 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. We can't remain in Jesus if we're not willing to love our neighbor. We can't remain in Jesus if we're walking in disobedience. We can't remain in Jesus if we don't like our neighbor. I don't know how many of you have watched The Chosen. Has anyone in here watched one or two episodes? I don't know, all five seasons, okay? Those disciples were messed up. How many of you were messed up when Jesus found you? Amen? And he's working on me and he's working on you. But he's in this private setting and he's saying, love each other. Greater love has no one than this. He would lay down his life for his friend. That's one of the signs that you're his disciple, is that you love each other. I'm sure those disciples got in tons of arguments. Have you ever gotten into an argument with somebody at church? I have. Have you ever gotten offended by somebody at church? Oh, not you guys. No, not you online. Never been offended by anybody. Never, ever, ever. Anybody ever took your parking spot? Anybody ever took your seat in church? Anybody ever took too long in the coffee line? Anybody ever rubbed you the wrong way? No, those disciples were just perfect. They just all got along, just, you know, kumbaya, and we're just gonna go and do this and go do that. Are you kidding me? They came from so many different backgrounds and had so much baggage when Jesus first called them. He's telling them in this private setting, you have to love each other. And guess what? That's a command of obedience. It's not, I don't feel like doing that. It's a command. It's a command from him. And guess what? He's going to help you love that person. He's going to help you forgive that person. He's going to help you walk out forgiving them and keep forgiving them. Love each other. Jesus summed all the Ten Commandments down to two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He took all ten and summarized it to two. Sometimes the hardest people for you to love are the ones that are in your own household. The ones that are blood related to you. You can't love them without the help of the Holy Spirit. You can't love them without remaining in Jesus. You're not going to feel like it. So many times we depend on our feelings to dictate our actions. Well, I don't feel like doing that. But Jesus has given us a command, and he says, if you're going to remain in me, you have to obey me, and I'm commanding you to love each other. It's one of the hardest things to do. People are people first, and Christians second. David Fang said that when he was here years ago for the prophetic conference, power conference. People are people first, and Christians second. None of us are perfect, but we give each other grace. We have mercy. We have forgiveness. And through the help of the Holy Spirit, we love each other. Amen? Amen. Let's keep going. How else do we remain in him? We bear fruit. It says right here, whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. Lasting spiritual productivity flows from continual communion. Continual communion. It means that day after day after day after day, you're having communion with the vine. You're having communion with Jesus. Have you ever gotten busy and gone a day or two, and you're just going and haven't spent that time in his presence? You're usually pretty crunchy. You're usually pretty short with people. You're usually pretty exhausted. Why? Because you've decided to not be in continual communion with the vine, with Jesus. I can't live without him. I can't be who I'm called to be and do what he's called me to do without him. I can't love people without him. I run out. Any of you ever run out? He's called you to remain in him so that everything you need comes from him and flows out of you. His desire is for you to bear much fruit, and fruit that will remain, fruit that will last, so that when you're standing in front of the judgment, in front of the white throne judgment, that all that you've done does not get burned up. It's fruit that will remain because you did it according to his will, and you did it with his strength, and you did it with him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. How many times have I tried to do it on my own? How many times have I leaned on my own understanding and had to go back and repent and had to go back? God is saying you don't have to do things on your own. He doesn't want his disciples to be away from him. It's like, okay, I need my kids. Oh, I lost two. All right, boys, come up. I have the great privilege of having all of my kids with me. Yes, Easton, let's go. Good thing you wore a collared shirt, very good. All right. These are three of my treasures. I have two more. They're probably over there. Now, they used to all be shorter than me. Okay. And I would at times have to take all five of them to the grocery store. Any of you other parents, okay, had a passel of kids. All right, going, there they are, let's go. Nope, they're here. Very good, give it up for Emmeline and Eliana. These are my treasures. These are my rewards. These are my gifts from the Lord. Now, you guys might not remember, but I bet Emma and Easton, when you guys were small and we go to the store, we had a plan. Mom had a plan, and Mom would go over the plan before we get out of the van. Okay? Now, usually this one, she's the youngest, the cherry on top. Okay, this is Eliana. She would be riding in the cart, right? Okay? This is Ikella, next one in the line. He'd be riding in the seat in the cart, buckled up. Okay? Then I got these three that can't ride in the cart. So what am I going to do? You say it loudly.
Hand on the cart.
All right, you're on this side. You're on this side. Do not let go of the cart. Do you hear me? And usually by then, by the time we had all five, Emma was old enough. She was 10 years old. She'd help me push the cart. Right? So I want you guys to stay with me. We're going to just do a visual. Are you ready? Okay, just stay with me. Come on. Stay with me. Stay close to me. Closer. 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 Don't run me over. Okay, we're going to turn. We're going to turn this way. We're going to turn this way. Stay with me. You got it? Eliana, where are you? I can't see you. Okay. Good. Keep staying. Keep staying. Don't trip each other. Stay with me. Turn, 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 turn. Good. 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 All right, give it up for these guys. Yes, you're done. Some of you may have just gone to the Alaska State Fair, taking your kids, your grandkids. What's the first thing that you tell them? Stay with me. Jesus' heart's cry to his disciples, stay with me. Stay with me. Go where I go. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. I am going to correct you because I love you. I am going to discipline because I love you. But my desire is that you would stay with me so you will bear much fruit. As a parent, I know that the safest place my kids can be is right here with me. Now that they're older, I'm trusting them to stay with Jesus. Letting them drive down the driveway in one of our vehicles. Jesus, you go with them. Give them wisdom and discernment as they drive. Keep them safe from crazy drivers and moose. But it doesn't matter how old we get. As one of his disciples, he's saying, stay right here. Hold on to my hand. Go where I go. Go where I lead you. I love you. I have the best plan for you. Don't try to do it on your own, but remain in me. He says it at the very beginning about how God will cut off every branch that doesn't bear fruit. I don't want to be cut off. I want to be a branch that remains and that is pruned by him because I want fruit that will remain. I want to stand before him. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. I can't do it without him. As a disciple of Jesus, you can't. You know, in our garden, we have times where fruit dies. Our squash plants, if a branch has ever gotten crimped before, bent, that fruit dies. We've had, what's it called, end rot, where the end of the vegetable rots. We've had aphids. And slugs. I love living with all of the pestilence. Thank you, Adam and Eve. We appreciate it very much. Jesus said it, apart from me, you can do nothing. How do you separate yourself from the vine? What are some things that cause us to try to do stuff on our own? Number one, well, let me tell you this. Like a branch that's separate from the vine, we are helpless, powerless. We will wither and die or be cut off if we bear no fruit. I don't want to be a branch like that. How do we get separated from him? Number one, pride. Like a crimp in the branch, pride makes us think we can do it on our own. I got this, Jesus. You gave me a brain. I can do this. No. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Why would that be in the Bible? Because too many times we think we can do it on our own, and it's a pride problem. Our pride tells us, oh, we can do this. We got this. I got it. Sometimes, you know, we have years of experience in kids' ministry. Lots of stories, lots of experience. And sometimes I lean on that experience, but Jesus has been telling me, okay, that was the past. I've got something new to do in King's Kids. I want you to come seek me out for it. I don't want you leaning on your own understanding. I want you dependent on me because I'm going to do a new thing. Yes, I have a brain. You have a brain. But God is saying to us, don't become prideful and try to do it on your own. Number two, disobedience. It can start small. It can start like one little aphid showing up on your plant. Guess what that little aphid does? Goes and tells his friends. And one little act of disobedience can multiply into continual acts of disobedience. One ignoring the Holy Spirit's warning can lead to multiple ignorings, and before you know it, Jesus hasn't moved, and you're way over there. Those aphids come in, and they multiply. One act of disobedience without going, oh God, I hurt your heart. No, I'm not going to disobey. I'm not going to disobey. I'm going to remain in you. I'm going to stay with you. If one of my kids decided in a large crowd to go off in an act of disobedience, what would happen? I can't protect them. If you've told your grandchildren or maybe you're babysitting, don't go out in the road. One act of disobedience. He's saying, if you love me, do what I command. If you love me, And you have to understand that this is a relationship. This is a relationship. It's the continual communion with Jesus. He's telling his disciples, stay with me. Everything I've spoken to you, everything I've taught you, don't give it up. Stay with me, because apart from me, you can't do anything. And he's calling to us tonight. Pride, disobedience. What about hidden sin? Hidden sin is like that end rot that happens on our vegetables. Something gets inside, something is hidden inside, and causes the whole piece of fruit to rot. Is there something in your life that is hidden sin? Nobody knows about it, but the Lord knows. And if you don't deal with it, if you don't repent, before you know it, you will be away from the vine. And your fruit, your branch will be cut off, because you'll quit bearing fruit. Is there something that the Lord has spoken to you to do, to say, a person he's called you to forgive, and you are not obeying him? Jesus is speaking to us. He's speaking to all of us. If you're in church on a Sunday night, most of us in here are believers. And if you're not, we're going to give you an opportunity to believe on Jesus and receive him. But Jesus is speaking to us as his disciples. Stay with me. Like my five children walked with me, stay close to him. Number two, let my Father prune you. Let the master gardener correct, chastise, discipline, because he loves you. And his desire is for you to bear much fruit. Much fruit. Number three, obey his commands. It may not make sense. Most of the time, it doesn't. And most of the time, he won't answer your why. Why, God, are you making me do this? Most of the time, he won't answer. It's a trust. God, I trust your good plan. I trust your good intentions for me. I'm going to obey you no matter what. And lastly, abiding means loving each other. Loving each other. We all here are going to enter into eternity one day. The Bible says very clearly that we're all going to stand in before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be judged according to our works. And the works that are going to last are the ones that we did as we abided in him, as we remained in him. And then that is the fruit that's going to remain. It's eternal. What you do here matters. What you do now matters. What you're doing on a daily basis matters. Are there patterns in your life that God's calling you to change? Are there thoughts that you're thinking that he's called you to let go of? Jesus is calling us as his disciples. Stay with me. Stay with me. He promises this to his disciples. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He was encouraging his disciples, and he's encouraging you tonight. If you will remain in him, your joy will be complete. Some of you have wondered, God, I don't feel happy anymore. I don't feel joy anymore. Well, ask yourself these questions. Are you remaining in Christ? Are you staying with him? Are you in continual communion with him? Or are you doing things on your own, in your own strength, according to your own understanding? Tonight, what I want to do is I want to open these altars, this altar down here. We're going to have a salvation call. But if you're here and you say, Pastor Kimmy, something you said tonight from the Word of God, it pricked my heart. I've been doing things on my own. I need to recommit to come back to the vine. I don't want to be a branch that's cut off. I want to be a branch that he prunes. I want to be a branch that will bear much fruit. I want you just to stand with me tonight. And I'm going to pray. And as I'm praying, if the Holy Spirit is calling you to renew your relationship, or maybe he's calling you to repent because you've grown prideful, or you've been doing these little acts of disobedience, or you've got hidden sin somewhere in your life, come down to these altars. We're going to sing a worship song, Minister Toby, but I want to pray. Would you bow your heads? Father, I ask you, Holy Spirit, you put this word on my heart because you love us. You don't want to be away from us. You don't want us to be away from you. And I pray now, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.